Poetry Rocks Tool 12, the sound effect. And the purpose of this tool is to work and play with sound in your poems, or in your prose for that matter, through focusing on the consonant and vowel sounds in the words your writing's composed of. So for some background, think of the sound component of a poem as its music, created by its diction, which are your word choices, and syntax, the order and arrangement of the words. After all, poetry began as an oral tradition. It was meant to be heard, not read. Before written language was widespread, poems were handed down from generation to generation by being memorized, and certain sounds were a huge aid to memorization, especially rhythm and rhyme. As the ability to read and write became common, and people's encounters with poetry were as, or even more likely to be via the printed word, rhythm and rhyme became less important, and many other kinds of play became possible. And we'll be talking more about this when we get to the form and shape of your poems. But sound is still a critical element in most poetry and so much fun to play with. Here are some ingredients to add musicality to your poems. And we're focusing on consonant sounds and vowel sounds. And the letters of the alphabet are divided into those for a reason. And both of them are musical ingredients in poems. And there's two poetic techniques using consonants, alliteration and consonance with an A-N-C-E at the end. And alliteration is the repetition of consonant sounds at the beginning of words. And almost everyone is familiar with this one, even if you didn't know it was called alliteration, which you probably did. But it's been used to twist the tongues of countless children through sentences like Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers and she sells seashells by the seashore. And you'll get a different effect, not only from which consonant sounds, whether they're individual sounds or blended ones like the bl or str, but also how often and how close together you repeat them. If you only have your sound repeated twice, it'll seem accidental. Probably people won't even notice that you do it. And if you start putting in five or more, it can start to sound comical or ludicrous. And if you're writing a comical poem, that's great. But it will create quite an effect. So a lot of times three or four is a good number, but you can experiment with this. And then consonants, just as a fancy way of saying that you're repeating your consonants elsewhere in words, not just always at the beginning. And so you could have your have an L at the beginning of one word, in the middle of another, at the end of another, and it forms a much more subtle music. And you may have wondered why a particular poem or passage just sounds great to the ear, even when there's not a rhyme or a particular rhythm at play. It often might be consonants or its vowel equivalent, which is called assonance, at work there. There's just something pleasing about the repetition of sounds. And this is something that will really help you grow as a poet when you, if you're not already doing this, to deliberately choose words that have similar sounds. And when you're deciding between one word and another, making this the choice that's going to have a more pleasing sound. And in this line from the poem that I just read you, Desire, I have this: discouragement isn't in your language of longing, lunging, lunging. And there's that repetition of the L's, there's a repetition of the NG, and also the ung and ing, and then also I have the j sound repeated a couple times in there. And it's pleasing to the ear, even if no one would ever realize that was happening. So this is the underground work of the poet. And then when we get to vowel sounds, then we call that assonance, as I said. And this is something that can happen again at the ending or middle or beginning of words. And there's a lot of musicality there. So if you listen for the short I sound in this line from a poem I read a couple tours ago, everything that happens, if only at the plot's first vicious twist, I could skip. You can hear those I sounds playing. Now, there's another consideration with vowel sounds, and that's pitch, or auditory frequency. And I learned about this from a wonderful book called Western Wind, An Introduction to Poetry by John Frederick Nims. And I'm going to just tell you, this is a graduate school level poetry consideration, but I know a lot of people who participate in Poetry Rocks have done a lot of work with these tools already. So I'm just going to read to you this frequency scale of English vowel sounds and listen and see if you can hear how from the vowel sound in the first word, boo, up to the vowel sound in the last word, which is E and B. See if you can hear the change in pitch. Boo, bone, book, bot, boy, bow, bar, bud, bird, bat, bet, bit, buy, bay, be. It's really subtle. And if you don't hear it, please don't feel bad. It's just something to notice that these different vowel sounds actually have a different pitch and a resonance, and just something to pay attention to. So remember that as you're playing with these vowel sounds, that the five vowels, A, E, I, O, and U, have a number of different sounds that they make. And a lot of times they're spelled really oddly, like the long A sound in the word rain, like a queen or king reigning. So you're working here on what the words sound like, not necessarily what they look like. And now here's what to do. You're going to create musicality in a poem by playing around with alliteration, consonants, and assonance, and maybe pitch. And the first thing is just to choose a subject that you'd like to write about. And it can be anything at all, to an event that happened to you, or just something you've been thinking about lately. And the next thing is to choose five words that you'd like to use in your poem. And you can go back and grab words from the diction deck you made back a number of days ago if you want to, or you can just pick new words, words that you love for their sound and their meaning that you know would work well with the subject matter that you're going to be working with, what your poem's going to be about. And write those words across the top of a piece of paper. And each word's going to be the start of a column of words that focuses on one or two of the vowel or consonant sounds in those words. And now that you have those words across the page, under each word, just start listing words that share any of the same consonant or vowel sounds. And you can choose words that make sense to you in regards to your subject, but you don't really have to. Sometimes the juxtaposition of seemingly random or unconnected words can suggest some amazing figurative language or a fresh new way of approaching your subject. Then, once each list has a good number of words, write your poem and see how many of the words that you've listed can be woven into your poem as you go. And this is wordplay. There's a reason I call my business wordplay. It's not linguistic. So don't worry if you begin listing words that begin with W and the word sidewalk shows up. Remember, we're talking about assonance and consonants. And you may be working with a final K sound, and then all of a sudden your list has morphed into a list of words with a short U sound, or a lot of times you'll have words that may show up on more than one list. What you're really after here is you're just wanting to let one word sound suggest another word and then another word, and you'll just have a poem with a lot of musicality because of these interrelated sounds. So here's my example. When I was in my 30s, I heard a speaker discuss being a child when the Cold War came to an end. And I was just sitting in the auditorium. I had this memory flash of huddling in a school hallway during a drill, preparing in the event the Russians dropped bombs on us. And I suddenly realized why I had this involuntary flinching whenever an airplane flew overhead. I had it came together for me then, and I remembered a character from a childhood picture book, Chicken Little, who was afraid that the sky was falling, and there was my subject. So what I did is I picked some word lists, and I didn't put down all the words that I listed, and I won't read all of them to you here, but you can look here and see that I knew I wanted to use the word sky. And so I have a lot of words that start with S, like soft and sleet. and snow. And then I put the word glisten, and that reminded me of the word imprison. So I put that down there, and that ended up coming up in the poem. And then I used to walk to school back in those days, and there were these plum trees. And I remembered how every fall these plums would just fall on the sidewalk and make a horrible mess. And I always loved the word plum. So I wrote the word plums down, and I started playing around with L and M words. And so melt showed up, and wormy, and wool and smell. And then I thought about that chicken and tucking your head under your wing. And so I played with the short U sound and some K sounds. And I have duck and scud in there and gut. And then the W, I had wing again for that tucking. And so worry and sidewalk and wool showed up again on that list, window. And then the H sound, because I had huddle, and I knew I wanted huddle for what we did during those drills. And I got hickory and hard and hover and some other words like that. And then when I went to write my poem, I just wove almost all of them in. And here it is. It's called Chicken Little, 1962. On hearing a speaker discuss the end of the Cold War and suddenly remembering the Cuban Missile Crisis. Let me tell you, the sky was always falling until I could name what did fall. Snow, soft feathers from a giant's bed ticking that glistened under porch lights, melted in my hair. Sleet sometimes, or hailstones, petals of rain that imprisoned me inside behind a window. Wormy apples, plums fermenting in the warm September air. Then came autumn with all its fallings, acorns in their nubbly caps, hickory nuts in hard casings, dry leaves whirling, scudding the sidewalk. I began to tuck my head under my wing, worry that the sky wouldn't hold. Names beget names, always more that could fall, stars, meteors, cradles harboring babies. In grade school drills, I learned how to huddle in a cinder block hallway, head between my knees. The smell of my damp wool uniform wrenched into the smell of fear. I wasn't given words for the lurch in my gut whenever I heard droning overhead. All I knew, ducking for any kind of shelter, it had something to do with airplanes, with world without end, amen. And here's a reflection for you. How did this approach to writing work for you? Did any surprises or serendipity show up as you played with words, focusing on sound rather than meaning starting there? What value do you see in approaching writing in this way?